Thank you for listening, downloading, sharing, subscribing, commenting, donating, and praying for us. And for going to brotherlance.com to get the free PDF of this teaching.
I'm sorry, guys. I got some tears in my wheat. Just a minute. This is special episode 6 of the Christian Soul Prepper podcast. The worst part for me as a Christian, as I see modern Western Christianity, is that they have turned Jesus into the big money mascot of the God sports team. Or as if God is the hedge fund manager in the sky and Jesus is the poster child for the IPO. But have no fear, the time has come and is here. Judgment has begun at the house of the Lord. And will you survive?
We are on a mission to help the body of Christ worldwide, preparing the faithful for the second coming of Jesus Christ. We do this by exposing the tricks of the devil, diving deep into the Word of God, and doing life together. Along the way, we'll include a power promise to claim and ridiculous trivia. We are not alone. We have a divine hope for home. Welcome to the Christian Soul Prepper Podcast. Right here, right now, we give you the God's honest truth. Be sure to bookmark brotherlance.com for all the latest podcast, video, Bible studies, social media, and more. Now here's your host, Brother Lance.
So it might not seem like it, but we're still on the topic of persecution. But we're laying down groundwork for the next episode. I said it was going to be this one. It'll be the next one. Because I felt led to add this podcast before the powerful next episode on persecution. Because we have to have groundwork, we have to have understanding, and we have to have a context to put what's coming in our brains so we can deal with it. And we get some concept on how to process, basically. Our last episode, when Jesus attacks, was talking about all the repentant, fatherless bastards going to pay for their sins, right? The world. They're not going to get away with their persecution. They're getting it. Sorry, another tear. It is now fitting to prove that before this happens, judgment must start at the house of the Lord. No Christian is an island unto themselves, and the time has come for judgment to begin within the body of Christ. The holy and profane, the sheep and the goats, the wheats and the tares will begin to start to be separated. And before any arrogant tares and goats out there proclaim they have nothing to fear, buckle up, Chuck. 1 Corinthians 11:31 says, "For if we will judge ourselves, we should not be judged." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please bless us. Give us the Holy Spirit. Guide us into all your truth. Help us to be a wheat and not a tare, a sheep and not the goat. Help us to be holy and not profane. Help us to realize that there is still a choice here on earth to make. Even after we say we believe, it takes more than belief to be saved. Help us to know this and understand this in this teaching and prepare our hearts for the judgment that is coming. And that is now here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hold on, I'm going to take a drink of my lukewarm coffee. Hold on. Yeah, that's disgusting. Man, those tears and lukewarm coffee just don't taste good together. Okay, all right, let's get our study. The name of this study is Judgment Has Begun at the House of the Lord. All right, so that's from 1 Peter 4:17-18. All right, it says, "For the time has come for the judgment to begin within the household of God." That was right after Jesus died. Okay, that's how long the judgment has been going on. Right, so when I say it has begun, it has been going on, right? And if it begins first with us, he's talking about Christians, what will happen to those who don't obey the good news of God? Terrible things, man. That's what happens. In verse 18, "And if it's hard," put that in your head, "if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what will happen to the ungodly and the sinner?" Now, people don't want to think about that. If it's hard for the every in modern Christianity, it's easy to be saved. You just go up there and pay your tithe, get dunked in some water, say you believe in Jesus, and bammo presto, you get the keys to the kingdom. So they teach. That's not even biblical. It's not even factual. It's not even right or correct. It's a lie of the devil. Because if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what will happen to the ungodly sinner? We learned that in the last episode. Go back an episode if you haven't heard that. That's what happens to the ungodly sinner, right? If you want to know what this looks like, look up Ezekiel 9, 1 through 11, okay? Now, before you go get big-headed and say, oh, I'm saved, and it's 100% factual and guaranteed, let's see what Jesus has to say on the subject, okay? He's your Lord. He's your Savior. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. So I think he's literally the authority on the issue of salvation and being prepared. So Luke 18, 7 through 8, won't God avenge his chosen ones? Learned about that. Who are crying out to him day and night, yet he exercises his patience with them. Verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them quickly. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Luke 18, 7 through 8. Will he find faith on the earth? Let that sink in. There's a lot of tares and goats. From this point forward, I will call them totes. Tare goats or totes. There are a lot of totes out there thinking they have faith because they believe Jesus is real, not realizing that belief is not faith. The devil believes also and trembles. He does not have faith, salvational faith. Not to mention that true biblical faith is very rare, and it's not what is practiced in most Western churches. So Jesus doubts openly in Scripture if he will even find true, biblical, honest faith when he returns. So if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, and your Lord and Savior says he wonders that when he returns, will there even actual be faith on the earth anymore? Right? And so it'll get so bad, even the elect will be deceived. Jesus once again says in Matthew 24:24, for there will arise false Christs and false prophets, and they will show great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the chosen. So he wonders if there's going to be a faith. He's telling you the deception will be so good that even the chosen ones are going to be under a great deception, that even they can be deceived by what's going on. The lack of true faith and trust in God alone will open the doorway for grand deceptions upon the totes. Don't be a tote. Okay? We must remain on guard, ever filtering everything we ever hear through the Bible. If it can make it through the filtering process, then you're in good position to understand the truth, right? So Hebrews 2, 1 through 3, it says, therefore, we ought to pay great attention to those things we heard, lest perhaps we drift away. That drifting away is through deception, the leaven of the Pharisees, the false teachings, the doctrines that are incorrect. Verse 2, for if the word spoken through angels provides steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, how will we escape if we neglect? Come on, verse 3, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first, having been spoken through our Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard? Verse 3, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? In other words, it's not once saved, always saved. It's not like I believe I'm in. He's saying, you got to work, you know, you got to have to really process what's going on here to have true biblical faith. If it's hard for the righteous to be saved, if there's even going to be faith on the earth when he returns, if the deception will be so great that the elect will be deceived, and what we just read here, how will we neglect such a great salvation, right? We have to prepare our hearts so we don't drift away. If you want to know how this drifting away happens, look up 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, Matthew 24, 12 through 13. And beware of the totes. That's the thing. Beware of the totes. Right? We have to be good stewards of the gospel entrusted to us. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, 42 through 48, Who then is the faithful and wise stewards whom his Lord will set over his household to give them the portion of food at the right times? 43. Blessed is that servant whom the Lord will find so doing so when he comes. Verse 44. Truly I tell you that he will set over him all that he has. 45. But if that servant says in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, begins to beat the men servants and maidservants to eat and drink and be drunken. Verse 46. Then the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he isn't expecting him, in an hour that he doesn't know, and will cut him in two. Now, these are people that are supposed to be servants that love and believe, right? And place his portion with the unfaithful. That means you're out of here. You're done. You failed. That servant who knew his Lord's will and didn't prepare, that's you. You got to prepare. Not nor do what he wanted will be beaten with many stripes. That's verse 47. Nor do what he wanted. You have a mandate on your life. Verse 48. But he who didn't know and did things worthy of stripes will be beaten with a few stripes. To whomsoever much is given, of him will be much required. And to whom much was entrusted, of him much will be asked. Think about that. Right? Cut in two was a servant. Unfaithful servant. You have been given much in the ways of God and the Lord. You have given the word, been given the word of life and salvation. You have been entrusted by Jesus Christ to bear the gospel of Jesus Christ in your heart and into the world and help others come to know the truth. If you fail at that, you will be cut in two. There is not once saved, always saved. Or if saved, always saved. It's you have to walk it out or you're going to be a castaway. That's what Jesus just said in that parable. You're going to be cut in two. Much has been given to you. Much is required. We have a divine responsibility to treat the gospel with such sovereignty and respect and heed its calling and maintain the mandates of our Lord that failure to do so is not only the highest form of disrespect for God and Jesus, it will turn you into a tote. Totes don't care about anything but what they can get from God. They give no mind to what is required. And this is why all totes will burn in hell. All totes will burn in hell. That's scriptural. Tear goats. All totes will burn in hell. And if you want to be tote meal, then do what totes do. If you don't want to be tote meal, then repent and become a sheep or wheat as the parables go, right? So, now we know the truth here. It's not once saved, all saved, right? So we have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. That's Philippians 2:12. So then, my beloved, even as you have always obeyed, obedience, what's obedience to a tote? Totes don't care about obedience. Carrying on, not only in my presence, but how much more with my absence? Work out your salvation with joy and happiness and, you know, best life now. No, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Right? Fear and trembling. In other words, take it under the most earnest consideration. It is the most sacred thing you can do in your walk in this life. This is not easy believism. This isn't shaking. This is definitely shaking in your boots. Soul searching, committing your entire spirit and soul into the hand of God and reserving nothing for yourself. So do you want to know how to do that? Then look up Luke chapter 12, verse 4 through 5, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 through 14, and John chapter 14, verses 15. And I'll give you a clue. God spells love O-B-E-Y, obey, okay? Totes don't obey. Goats don't obey. Tares don't obey. Totes don't obey. Sheep and wheat, they obey. Okay? Bridge verse. Jude chapter 1, 21 through 23. Keep yourself in God's love. Do you know you can keep yourself in God's love? You don't just remain there. Scripture does not teach that. If you want to keep yourself in God's love, you have something that is required of you. So let's read. First Jude 1, 21 through 23. Keep yourself in God's love, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. On some have compassion, making a distinction. And some save, snatching them out of the fire with fear, hating even the clothing stained by the flesh. Right? You once saved, always saved people probably have an issue with the concept that you must keep yourself in God's love, meaning that you can step outside of his love. But it is true, as verse 23 clearly says, is the clothing of unrepentant sin in your life that will do it, right? This is like a metaphor. It's not literally sin, you know, on clothing. It's a like the robes of righteousness type of thing, right? So he's giving you the expression, you want to keep yourself in God's love? Hate all sin, sin in your life and other people's life. Hate sin, hate sin, hate sin. And you're thinking, how could this be? Well, this reminds me of a parable of Jesus, right? It's Matthew chapter 22, 1 through 14, right? For many are called or few are chosen in their wedding clothes. Jesus answered and spoke to them again in the parable, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who made a marriage feast for his sons and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the marriage feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent out other servants saying, tell those who are invited, behold, I prepared my dinner. My cattle and my fatlings are killed, and things are ready. Come to the marriage feast. But they made light of it and went on their own way. That's verse 5, right? They're just like, whatever. One to his own farm, another to his merchandise, and the rest grabbed his servants and treated them shamefully and killed them, right? When the king heard this, he became angry. The king is God. God became angry and sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned their cities. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited weren't worthy. Go therefore to the intersections of the highways, and as many as you can may find, invite them to the marriage feast. Verse 10, these servants went out into the highways and gathered to them as many as they could be found, both bad and good. The wedding was filled with guests, but when the king came to see, that's God, the guest, he saw there were a man. Hey, guys, get this, okay? He saw there are men who didn't have on wedding clothes, right? They had garments spotted with sin, verse 12. And he said to them, friends, how do you come in here not wearing wedding clothes? He was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and throw him into outer darkness. That is where the weeping and grinding of gnashing of teeth will be. For many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, few are chosen. Just because you've been called by God does not mean you have been chosen. You have to make your election sure. We're going to talk about that. So what are these wedding clothes? You want to know what they are? Look up Isaiah 61:10, Revelation 1:5, and Revelation 7:13 through 14. If you want to be accepted at the marriage supper of the Lamb, then you must have appropriate attire. This can only be received by those who obey Jesus and make Jesus not just Savior, but Lord. Right? So make your election sure. 2 Peter 1, verses 10 through 11. Therefore, brothers, rather be diligent to make your calling and your election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. Verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Make your election and calling sure, or calling and election sure. So you're called to the party, right? If you remember, many are called, but few are chosen. Here we see a plea to make your calling sure and your election sure. These are two different steps. As we see in the parable of the wedding clothes, being called and then being accepted or your election is two different steps entirely. Most people believe it's one and done. So they treat their own salvation as if it's germane or a common thing, not the sacred, precious acceptance that must be nurtured and cared for. You get invited to accept Jesus. If you want to stay at the party, you must be dressed for the occasion, right? So how do you make your calling and election sure? If you want to know, look up Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, 2 Peter 1, 3 through 9, and 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 through 6, okay? So wide is the gate. Matthew, Jesus says this, Matthew 7, 13 through 14, Matthew chapter 7, 13 through 14. Enter in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many are those who enter in by it. Verse 14, how narrow is the gate and how restricted is the way that leads to life? Few are those who find it. A lot of people are on a path thinking they're walking to salvation, but they're on the broad path. You want to know how to find the path? Look up John chapter 10, 1 through 5. There are very few people who find the path to salvation. Sorry, folks, just because you say you believe in Jesus does not mean you're saved. Okay, you have been called, but you have not been elected. You're a tote, and you need to get on the path to salvation. Many think they're on the path, just like you totes, but the wide and easy get-rich-prosperity gospel is the path that leads to destruction, okay? But the totes love the easy path. Like kids playing house, they are fooling themselves. The wide path requires nothing from the traveler, but a smile on your face and happy days are here. Right? The narrow path requires you to walk circumspectly and measure each step forward to stay on the path. Right? Because it is tight and constricted and narrow, and very few people find it. That's what Jesus said. All right, let's recap. The dire situation we all find ourselves in, a situation that must be met with all sobriety and earnest desire to be in the right standing with God. 1 Peter 4:17 through 18, judgment has begun and is hard for even the righteous to be saved. 2 Peter 1:10 through 11, you must make your calling and election sure. Philippians 2:12, we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Matthew 22:1 through 14, many are called, but few will be chosen. Matthew 7:13 through 14, narrow is the path and very few people will find it that leads to salvation. And here's a bonus one for you guys you can look up in your free time. Matthew 7:18 through 20, every tree that does not bear fruit will be cast into the fires of hell. That's your recap. Okay? That's the situation you find yourself in. If you're sitting there with an overconfident, smug, prideful look on your face like you ain't got nothing to worry about, then you need to do some soul searching to make sure that you are pleasing to God in every single aspect of your life, that you're not perfect, but you're living a life of obedience and repentance, that you desire God's way and His timing and His execution in all things in your life. Okay? And then you can be confident. But if you think I'm one and done, I got baptized, I can do what I want, there's no condemnation, blah, blah, blah. You know, here's the thing. Learn how to read verses in context before you start quoting junk you don't even understand. You know, it's not weighed out against scripture. Okay? There's your recap. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Judgment has begun at the house of the Lord. Make your election sure. Many are called, few are chosen. There is a path, and very few people find into the path of salvation. And every tree that was grafted in to Jesus Christ does not bear fruit from Him is cast into hell. Okay? Don't be tote meal. Totes burn in hell. Now, Jesus tells us that we are called to hate ourselves or reject ourselves, right? This concept goes against everything totes are about. Self-love, worship songs that talk about themselves is their forte. The tote mantra is, what's in it for me? Jesus declares that this self-serving, me-centered tote spiritual walk on the wide path of destruction will not cut it. All right? So it's Luke chapter 14, 25 through 33. And a great crowd went with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, in his own very life, he cannot be my disciples. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down and first count the cost, whether he may have enough to finish it? Lest perhaps after he's laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all those seeing him will begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to war against another king does not first sit down and consult whether he's able with 10,000 to meet with him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else why the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegate and asks conditions of peace. So then, every one of you who does not forsake all his possessions, he cannot be my disciple. Right? He goes, like, if you don't sit down and honestly count the cost of what it means to be my follower, to worship, and to make me your Lord and Savior, if you don't sit down and count that cost, then you are acting foolishly. Right? That is a grave mistake. Sure, it's hard to forsake all your possessions with everything at your church being taught to you as how to get more. More, says the totes. This is the calling of the Lord. Well, guess what? Wrong Lord, wrong Savior. Jesus says forsake it all. Jesus does not preach a physical prosperity gospel of possession. That gospel does not preach around the world. If the gospel does not preach around the world, then it's not the true gospel. If you can't say it to some poor Ethiopian dying of starvation, then it's a lie. It's not the true gospel. Jesus says, forsake all your worldly possessions, commit everything to me, and follow me. That's what he says. Now, you are called to love God supremely. Not yourself, not the blessings, not the healings, or anything else. Sorry, getting a tear out of my throat. Let's look at Mark 12, 30 through 31. You shall love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, not part, not, you know, divided. You know, it's not a timeshare. You shall love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. I don't think you left anything out there. This is the first commandment. The second is like under this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these, right? So how do you love God this way? That he wants to be loved. Earlier we talked about God spelling love, obey, O-B-E-Y. L-O-V-E is spelled O-B-E-Y in God's love language. John 14, 21. He that has my commandments and keeps them, it is he that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Do you see what the requirement of receiving God's love is? Obedience. If you do these things, I will love you. Wow, that flies in the face of everything you hear at church, doesn't it? All the tote meal people out there, the toters, they teach that like God loves everything. Yes, God has a foundational love for his creation. But there's different, like, you know, philia, agape, and all this stuff. There's different forms of love spoken in the Bible. In our modern culture, when we say love, I love biscuits, or I love my child, I love my job, I love that sports team, right? There's different types of love. I love biscuits, but I love my children much more than biscuits. But if I just say the word love means love, then you don't understand what's being said there. If you want to have an intimate, personal relationship with Jesus Christ and God, you have to obey them. You failed to do that. If you don't keep his commandments, you're an imposter, a tote of the worst kind. Liar, liar, liar. Your disobedience proves you're a tote. You are tote meal. You're nothing. But have no fear. The totes will be exposed and judged accordingly. Right? God knows the imposters. He knows the tergoats, the totes, the toters, the tote meal. Tote you very much. Anyways, Hebrews 12, 24 through 29. The great shaking is coming. Hebrews 12, 24 through 29. And Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, into the blood of the sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape, those who refused him that spoke on the earth, much more we shall not escape. If we turn away, if we turn away, you can turn away from him who speaks from heaven. 26, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will not only shake the earth, but also the heavens. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken. If you can be shaken, you're removing. Continue on. As of the things that have been made, so that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For also our God, please remember this, I'm about to talk about this. Here's the verse. Our God is a consuming fire. A consuming what? A consuming fire. Okay? Everything you have done, been, and will be tried by fire. Might I suggest that the fire that refines is our God, the consuming fire. He's a consuming fire of righteousness and glory. God is a consuming fire, and his righteousness is the trying fire for the believers and a destroying fire for the lost. And this holy, righteous fire is eternal. You understand me? Now, everything you have will be tried. It's going to be shaken. The totes will be exposed. Everything you think you've done for God, when in reality it was for your own self-exaltation, will be tried and proved if it is worthy of his praise. Did you go through the tote route and gave because you only saw a blessing from God? Or you do it out of obedience and love for God? Great news, totefuls. We will know very soon if you're a faker or a taker of the Lord or a true follower of our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be exposed. All totes will be exposed, right? We're going to have big heaping bowls of tote meal. 1 Corinthians 3:13-15. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, the consuming God fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if a man's work abides, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Yet so as by fire. To the believer, God is a refining fire. To the lost, to the totes, you're toast. Now, God says, I will honor those who honor me. 1 Samuel 2:30. Jehovah, the God of Israel, says, I said, indeed, your house and the house of your father shall walk before me forever. But now Jehovah says, be it far from me, for those who honor me, I will honor. And those think little of me shall be lightly regarded. Now, this is not the, hey, look at me honor that the totes love, but the true, I give you my life and everything and submit my will to yours and will do as you say type of honor. Right? Only those who fear him and work and will work righteousness will be accepted by him. Did you know that? You're probably thinking, no, once saved, always saved. I believe in Jesus. I give it church. I go to church. You know, I serve on the weekends. Totally wrong thinking. Acts 10:34-35. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, truly I say that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he who fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. Acts 10:34-35. You get that? God doesn't care who you are, what position you hold, what letters you have before your name or after your name, or if you're the worldwide pastor of some sacrilegious church. He cares if you love him by obedience. God spells love O-B-E-Y. Now, on to the tote meals and the separation of the cream of wheats. Right? Because I want to be the cream of wheat. I don't want to be the tote meal. You don't want to be the tote meal. Of all those called to the Lord, there will only remain a few who receive the election. Make your calling and election sure. There will only be few. Many are called, few are chosen. Narrow is the path. Very few people that find it. A remnant that will have forsaken everything in this life and exchange it for the saving of their souls by truly making Jesus their Lord and Savior. That's what's going to happen. They responded to the call and took it very seriously and obey, making their election sure. Right? Ezekiel 14:20-22. Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, says the Lord Jehovah, they shall deliver neither their sons or their daughters. They shall only deliver their own souls by their righteousness. For, says the Lord Jehovah, how much more when I send my four evil judgments on Jerusalem, the sword and the famine and the destroying beast and the plague to cut them off from beast from it, yet behold, there shall be left a remnant in it that shall be brought out. Sons and daughters, behold, they shall come out to you, and you shall see their ways and their doings, and you shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought out of Egypt for all that I have brought on it. So he brought it on it to bring out the remnant. You get that? Okay. He allowed it to happen to figure out who the remnant was, that great shaking, that trying of fire. God is allowing that to happen to figure out the remnant. Remember this for our next podcast. Salvation is a direct and personal thing. There's no group salvation. It's a case-by-case situation, and it doesn't matter what your church family or your neighbors think or the way they do it. It's just you and God, just like in the Old Testament, just like what we're saying. There only will remain a remnant. Will you be a part of that? Are you smart enough to make your election sure? Are you being a tote? We are told who this group will be in the defining trait of the remnant of people of God. Did you know that? The Bible tells us. Revelation chapter 12, 17. And the dragon, which is the devil, was wroth with the woman, which is the church of God, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. All right, here's the trait, defining trait right here, Revelation 12, 17, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's the defining trait of the remnant. Did you know that? The remnant people of God have the testimony of Jesus being washed in the blood and keep the commandments of God. You will not be a part of the remnant church of God if you do not keep the commandments. If you know better like you do now and you don't live up to the light you've been shown, you're a tote. Welcome to the Totesville. Okay? So in closing, please get, if you made it this far, I'm proud of you. Congratulations. You get like a star. Something, okay? Most people don't make it this far. But here's something for you who've made it this far. Do you realize, grab your Bible if you don't have it already, and look with me. Flip to the book of Revelation while I talk. Do you realize the last thing Jesus ever said to the church in the Bible and the last blessing ever spoken by our Lord in Scripture involved keeping the commandments? Did you realize that? It is in Revelation 22, 12 through 15. Revelation 22, 12 through 15. And behold, I come quickly and my reward is with me to give to each according to his what? His works. Why did he say works there without saying faith? According to your works. Because in James chapter 2, faith without works is dead. That's why. So Jesus says, behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give to each according to his works. Verse 13, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed, verse 14, here it is. Blessed are they who do his commandments, that their authority will be over the tree of life, and they may enter into the gates into the city. But outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the fornicators and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone else who loves and makes a lie, like the totes. Okay? This is where you get tote meal. They're outside the gates. Do you understand what just was said to you? If you want to have right to the tree of life and enter into the city of the gates, if you want to partake in the final blessing spoken by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the Bible, the last thing in Scripture, you have to keep the commandments. You have to do what he says. It requires obedience. O-B-E-Y. That's how God spells L-O-V-E. Okay? Pray about that. No ridiculous trivia today. I just offer you the terms totes, totes meal, totes full, you know, all kinds of. That's ridiculous enough. There's your ridiculous stuff for today. All right, if you want to pass judgment that has begun and not be a tote, then obey and keep the commandments, including the fourth commandment, Sabbath, which is Saturday. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. Go to brotherlance.com and look up Sabbath and the Mark of the Beast. It's the big banner. Click it. I have so much information to prove to you through history and Scripture that Saturday is the Sabbath and will always be the Sabbath. Not just that it's the only one that matters, it's the one that most people are messed up on. So without obedience, as Jesus clearly states, you will not enter heaven, you will not eat of the tree of life, you are damned to hell, and you will pay for your disobedience for being arrogant and trying to do it your own way. Don't be tote meal, be cream of wheat. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we understand that you require of us obedience and allegiance in our life. You didn't come to save us just from our inner sins, right? You came to save us from our sin. And that you are empowering us and that you're not telling us that we have to be perfect, but we have to be repentant with a heart towards obedience, ever willing to be corrected and walk that path. And if we fall down, you're just and righteous to forgive us of our sins so we can keep walking forward. And that's what we do. We keep walking forward. We do not lose heart. We do not give up. We do not give in. We wander after you as the beautiful, awesome shepherd that you are. And we love you. And we, I pray, Father, will enjoin with you on your special holy day to be with the Lord of the Sabbath on Sabbath, on Saturday, not Sunday. And that we'll understand this truth and move forward with you and our walk with you, Father. And we thank you for all the blessings you have set aside to those who love your name and who obey and are called according to your purposes, that we can make our calling and election sure, that we're on the narrow path, that we will bear much fruit, that we will not give up, that we have worked out our salvation with fear and trembling, and we have confidence in our soul that we are in right standing with you because we obey. And we thank you for the power in the Holy Spirit to do that. Empower us daily to obey you and to do what is pleasing in your sight. Father, I love you. I thank you. And thank you for being with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in this time of fellowship. Visit weshallbelikeim.com to download your free copy of a 45-day transformation devotional. Be sure to check out our website at brotherlance.com to stay up to date. We really appreciate your support, for sharing with your friends and family, and leaving positive reviews. Together, we are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. This has been the Christian Soul Prepper Podcast, preparing your soul for the second coming.